Hello and welcome to Pandora's Box. This is Kalia. And the topic of our show today is fear of abandonment and extreme anxiety. The fear of abandonment is one of the most hidden and misunderstood fears in our psyche. I myself have been plagued by this fear, which shows up in the form of extreme anxiety. The majority of people I've worked with who are coming out of narcissistic relationships are experiencing fear of abandonment, although they may not be aware what is happening. It's not our adult relationships where the fear of abandonment originates. This fear stems from a strong abandonment wound in childhood. Often this fear is implanted so early in life that one doesn't remember the actual incident. It isn't necessarily that our parent or parents actually abandon us, leaving us on a doorstep in a basket, but we may be left to cry in the crib too long, or there may be an accident or an illness or death or some other life circumstance that creates this abandonment wound. Sometimes there is actual abandonment, but most often not. In my case, I was only 5 months old when my life turned upside down. My father left for work one evening for the graveyard shift. He was only 22 years old and just beginning his life with my mother. They had two babies, my older brother, who was 2 years old, and me being only 5 months old. They were young, in love, and had their whole life ahead of them, until that fateful night when my father didn't come home. There was an accident at the plant he worked at, and he was killed immediately. My mother was overwhelmed with shock and grief. Her anxiety was likely through the roof, trying to process the information of my father's death. As an infant, I absorbed that anxiety and the intense grief. My mother was not equipped to comfort me in my distress because she was in so much of her own distress. In one night, it seemed I lost my father and my mother. My mother was emotionally shut down. I was emotionally abandoned. Of course, it took me years into my adulthood to piece this all together and realize why I had such a deep abandonment wound. My abandonment wound didn't really become evident to me until I was in my 30s and had my own child. My relationships were unstable, and I seemed to choose men who were abandoning either physically or emotionally. It was my first relationship with a narcissist where the wound really began to surface. My partner at the time was always walking away from me, unwilling to resolve arguments or issues in our relationship. One day he spontaneously decided, during an argument, to leave for the day and go skiing. My anxiety went through the roof. When I saw him throwing his ski gear together, I just broke down and fell onto the floor and started sobbing. He wasn't leaving me, he was just going skiing, but I had been emotionally abandoned again. There was no resolution, and I didn't know how to soothe the raging beast within me. The intense anxiety that threatened to consume me. I couldn't bear to go another moment without resolution or comfort. When my boyfriend saw me like this, he came over. He did comfort me, and he canceled his ski trip because he realized how much distress it was causing me. So my anxiety was relieved, and I was back to my normal self again. At the time, I didn't identify this as an abandonment wound. I thought it was sadness. I thought it was grief. I believed I was just feeling pain. But this dynamic would happen again and again in our relationship until I finally left the relationship. But when I left, it just got worse. I left believing that if I left the source of my abandonment pain, which I didn't call abandonment pain at the time, but the source of my pain, that I would feel better. But now that he was permanently gone, the abandonment wound just got triggered more and more and more. I became more and more unable to cope. And he immediately went into another relationship. So I was highly activated and my post-traumatic stress was so strong, I was unable to function. I couldn't work. I couldn't eat. I couldn't sleep. I obsessed about the relationship. I dreamt about him coming back. I realized being with him would be better than feeling this anxiety. And after 3 months of his being gone, his new relationship fell through and he came back. But now that he had tasted freedom again, he wanted to have me, but he also wanted to be free. So he was unavailable much of the time. I would go between extreme anxiety and relief. Eventually, I realized I had to get him out of my life because I was so consumed by him. I saw a psychologist who told me he was a narcissist. Back before the term narcissism was popular. And I had my first explanation of why I felt I was going crazy. My focus turned to narcissism and researching it completely. I slowly began to take back my power and cut off contact with him. The more I cut off contact with him, the more anxiety he seemed to have, calling me at strange times and showing up at my doorstep. There was a time he seemed as obsessed with me as I had been with him. But by this time, I was starting to get strong again, and eventually I cut off our relationship altogether. Eventually, the anxiety completely receded and I was living my life again. I attributed my anxiety to being in a relationship with a narcissist. What I came to discover many years later was that it wasn't just the narcissistic behavior that was causing my anxiety, it was my abandonment wound. It was triggered by being in relationship with someone who was emotionally unavailable and both physically and emotionally abandoning. As I began working with victims of narcissistic abuse, I saw the commonality of severe anxiety and PTSD symptoms, which included an obsessive and addictive focus on the narcissist. The longing and the desperation were a common thread. Many of the people I worked with could logically see that the relationship wasn't healthy for them and they were better off without it, but the longing to be with that person had a mind of its own. It was often this anxiety that led victims of narcissistic abuse back into the relationship. The need for relief from the severe anxiety was so strong that all logic and reasoning went out the window. For the longest time, I believed this was just an addiction. We became addicted to the narcissist, but now I realize when we're with someone who punishes us by withdrawing, both physically and or emotionally, our abandonment wound is activated. It's not created, it is activated. When someone close to us gives us the silent treatment, it's highly triggering to the abandonment wound. When a partner has an affair or devalues and discards us, it is highly triggering to the abandonment wound. When someone constantly is playing the game of come here, go away, it is highly triggering to the abandonment wound. We may come to believe that the intense anxiety created by the triggering of our abandonment wound, coupled with the relief we feel when we reunite with the abandoner, is love. We may believe we really love this person, when the truth is we seek the relief from anxiety, and this relief feels like love. Healing an abandonment wound is not easy. It is so archaic and deeply unconscious that it's likely to come up again and again under the right circumstances. Now, if we are with a partner who is consistently there and loving towards us, we won't be activated. We may have some minor anxiety at times, but if we're with someone who is consistent with contact and communication, we're not likely to be triggered. Many clients I've worked with tell me the narcissist in their life would just walk out the door during an argument and they wouldn't hear from that person for days, maybe even weeks. They may try and call, but don't get a response. The anxiety gets so extreme that when that person finally does come back, they welcome them with open arms. They finally feel that sense of relief. They may never talk about how they felt when that person was gone. The unresolved argument stays unresolved. Anything that might rock the boat and cause that person to disappear again is avoided. In my book, Rebirth, I talked about how my partner of 6 years disappeared from my life without a word. We'd lived together for 6 years and all our personal possessions were commingled. Although I finally had a phone conversation with him a month after his disappearance, I asked him not to return. My abandonment wound had been highly triggered, and I suffered with extreme anxiety for a good 6 months. It didn't seem that the awareness of my wound helped to heal it. It was just as strong as ever. So why is it so hard to heal an abandonment wound? Well, it's because it's so largely unconscious. When you're an infant, you depend entirely upon your primary caregiver. And if that caregiver is not there to soothe you when you are afraid or upset, there's an instinctual feeling that you will die. The truth is, you will die without someone there to care for you. You're completely dependent. Without proper soothing as an infant, we never learn how to self-soothe. When we're distressed, we sort of check out or dissociate from our bodies. In that dissociated state, we become self-abandoning. If the parent finally comes to pick us up and soothe us, we're already in a state of extreme anxiety, and it takes a long time for us to feel comforted. We may be very clingy with that parent. Our attachment to that parental figure becomes an anxious attachment. Anxious attachments are formed when a parent is there for us, but on a very inconsistent basis. We can't rely on that parent. We move between anxiety and relief, anxiety and relief. When we're old enough to ask for what we want and go to find that parent with our two now functioning legs, we can relieve our own anxiety much of the time and we don't feel so much distress. The memory of that distress and anxiety is in our subconscious, and the subconscious associates that distress with danger, producing the typical panic and anxiety that comes with being in danger. If your car hits a patch of ice and begins to spin around, your body will go into survival mode. You will likely experience panic, anxiety, rapid heartbeat, sweaty palms. Your digestive system will shut down and you'll be in full-fledged fight or flight. But once that danger has passed, you'll calm back down. The relief will come. This same fight or flight mechanism happens when your body or subconscious perceives a threat, either real or imagined. The threat is imagined in cases with abandonment wounds because when someone you love distances themselves from you, you aren't in any real danger. You're not going to die. But your physical response is the same as if you were in real danger. If you don't have the normal self-soothing skills, you will likely dissociate, thereby abandoning yourself. You consciously associate your distress with the love object and develop a belief that if they return either emotionally or physically, you're going to be okay. So when there's a reunion, there's relief. If there is no reunion, the anxiety progresses. We have these long, drawn-out episodes of severe anxiety because there is a perceived threat, and the threat is not considered to be over until that person returns, or until such a time we are successful at convincing ourselves that our well-being is not dependent upon the person being there for us. We can't just convince our conscious self. We have to convince our subconscious self. We have to learn how to self-soothe. When we're triggered, we aren't going to be rational or logical. We will be inflamed and reactive. We may act out in desperation. We may attack the one who has triggered us through our reactions or words. We may download our distress onto friends or family. We may not make any sense. And worst of all, we may have no idea how to resolve the intense trauma we find ourselves in. Fear of abandonment can also be called abandonment anxiety or separation anxiety. It can also produce symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorder. It's very complex and difficult to understand. Is it a disorder? Well, yes, it's more than just a fear, and it's an extreme state of temporary unwellness. People who are dealing with abandonment and anxiety for any length of time may suffer extreme consequences such as health issues, job loss, loss of friends, being unavailable to one's children, and the inability to eat or sleep or care for oneself. They may also experience compulsive behaviors such as walking away from a job, jumping in their car and driving across country, or anything they believe at the time will relieve the anxiety. Some will even attempt suicide. There may be irrational behavior such as stalking the love object, making a lot of phone calls, texting or emailing, showing up at that person's house, and other behaviors that often result in making the anxiety even worse. Some may contact the new girlfriend or boyfriend or take extreme measures to try and win back the love of the abandoner. Those of us who have abandonment anxiety need to begin by recognizing what we are dealing with. We need to recognize this anxiety originated from infancy and not with the current abandoner. We need to take the focus off the abandoner and put it back on ourselves. We need to learn how to self-soothe. We need to learn how to talk to our body and let it know it is safe. There's no immediate danger. We may not fully heal our fear of abandonment because it's a very deep wound, but we can learn to manage it. We can heal ourselves to the point where we learn that the abandonment wound within us often attracts to us the abandoner. So we have to change our attraction patterns and form relationships with people who are consistent in their communication, attention, and love. We need to find people who we can talk about this wound with and communicate our needs to. We need to communicate our need for consistency in communication and emotional availability. We have to stop getting involved with the narcissist, the drug addict, sex addict, alcoholic, and workaholic. We have to commit to healing ourselves on all levels and understand ourselves. If you are with a narcissist or abandoner, you need support to ride out the uncomfortable separation anxiety and form a strong attachment and bond with yourself. Some of you have probably heard of Margaret Paul, who calls this forming a strong attachment and bond with yourself inner bonding. When we can stay present with ourselves rather than dissociate and check out, we can be aware of our needs and take care of ourselves. We need to heal our wounds of shame, self-blame, guilt, and inadequacy so that when we feel abandoned, we don't start finding fault with ourselves. Although it's true that when we are too needy, obsessive, possessive, and clingy, we may push the love object out the door. Most people I've worked with don't really experience strong abandonment anxiety with the love object until that person's already gone or walking out the door. So those obsessive behaviors aren't normally present during the relationship. What is present is the wounds of shame, self-blame, and inadequacy. These wounds are fostered by the narcissist. We can learn to heal these wounds by developing a stronger relationship with ourselves that is loving, nurturing, and caring. We can come to realize that we are worthy of love. We're worthy of a strong and healthy relationship. We are adequate. We are enough. There's nothing wrong with us. The abandonment is not our fault. The original abandonment was not our fault. Fear of abandonment can surface in so many other ways too, such as fear of rejection. Because rejection can feel like abandonment. It triggers the abandonment wound. Our fear of being inadequate lends itself to a fear that we won't be liked and thereby rejected. In many ways, all our irrational fears dance together in one big ball of anxiety. The only way to heal this is to become aware of these hidden fears and learn to self-nurture. We need to learn to love ourselves in the face of rejection, abandonment, and blame. We need to come to the understanding and realization that we are dealing with formative wounds that really have nothing to do with our worth, value, and lovability. We need to understand that the child mind made some assumptions about their own worth and value that are inaccurate. We need to retrain the inner child, which is in the realm of the subconscious, to accept a new belief. The new belief is that you are good, you are worthy, you are lovable, you're not a mistake. You didn't do anything wrong. You are welcome here. And you deserve to be treated with kindness, respect, love, and compassion. Don't settle for anything less. Don't allow anybody to convince you or influence any other belief about yourself. What you believe about yourself is really powerful. Your beliefs influence what shows up in your reality. So if you believe that you're unworthy, you will attract people into your life who will treat you this way. If you believe you are worthy, you will attract people into your life who will treat you this way. One of the most powerful ways to heal is to pay attention to what's showing up in your life and learn from it. Say no to people who are rude, mean, and disrespectful, and say yes to those who are loving and caring. As you do this, it is an act of self-love, and you slowly begin to change your subconscious programs. You're telling your mind by your actions that you won't accept abuse. So your mind begins to reveal to you more and more about the people you meet earlier and earlier. And soon you'll be able to see beyond appearances and intuitively feel that something isn't right. And you need to trust that. There's a lot more information that I could talk about having to do with the fear of abandonment, such as answering the question, what happens when my fear of abandonment causes me to sabotage relationships that might actually have the capacity to be healthy? You might check out my episode, Why Am I Bored with Healthy Relationships? It will give you some insight to how your subconscious patterns sabotage healthy relationships, and I'll include the link to that episode below. Meanwhile, I want to thank you so much for listening today. For more information about my work, please visit my website, narcissismfree.com. So have a great day, and I'll see you next time.